That is marvelous. That is absolutely not marvelous. And I know that's a treasure. And it's something that, well, maybe it's boys and daddies. I don't know. If there's an exception out there, if you have any exception to this rule, please join our conversation and let me know about it. But it's true that dads pass along tools to boys. And I have a few tools that my dad passed along to me, and it was kind of a, it was an occasion, it was a celebration, it was a, in some ways a reward, perhaps. But I treasure those things, and I do know exactly, well, how that must feel for you to have some of your daddy's tools, and there's a lot of boys out here that perhaps have used tools, and they could have purchased a new one any time, maybe a one that wasn't as rusty or wasn't as bent, or but they wouldn't. They wouldn't dare. I've got screwdrivers that my dad used to sharpen because he'd use them so hard they'd be dull, you know. He'd use them for other things, chisels and the like. But anyway, yeah, that's a nice, thank you for disturbing that memory too. Yeah, I know we could go on for, well, who knows how long, but it's here after 11 o'clock. We have certainly had a good night for Rag Chew. I'm proud to have been a part of it. Thank you of everybody who's preceded me in this thing that's probably unique to our hobby. Who do you know that talks about rag chewing anymore? I know what it means. You know what it means. Not everybody knows what that means. KK4JBQ. I'll turn it back to you, Gary. Have yourself a great night. And thank you for calling the net and bringing us all together. 7-3, my friend.
I'll ask you one more question, or tell you one more thing that I've got here that we were talking about things that may not be here in the near future. I've got a, and I still remember how to use it, a slide rule. How many people do you know have slide rules and know how to use them?
Well, sir, I can remember a few people. One was my math teacher in high school. I did not care for math. I want that to be clearly understood. I did not care for it, but he made me understand it. And when I went to college, I had to understand it in a whole different light, in a whole different way. Calculus is what I'm talking about. Integral and differential calculus. I majored in math in high school because of this fella. And I did very well in college as well, as far as math was concerned. While my fellow students were just dying, you know, they were just dying, I had an attitude toward math. And it was nothing special. It was not a, I didn't think it was a gift. Maybe it was. But this fella in high school, he taught me to appreciate mathematics. And I had no idea I would major in mathematics. I had no idea I'd do that. I thought it would just way over my head, and I would, well, you know, who's going to use that stuff anyway? Well, anyway, it served me. He gave me a slide rule, which I still have, and I still know how to use it. And that's pretty special. Well, come along another gentleman who played a big factor in my life, Donna's dad. His name was Don. And that man was an engineer. He was also a ham. He was also my first Elmer. When I first started talking on this repeater, I used a radio that he passed along to me. And that slide rule is still in its leather case. Yeah, there's these things that we don't use that often, but they are treasures anyway. It's, you know, I've talked to people that if it wasn't money you could spend, it really didn't have much value. why keep it around? If it wasn't money you could spend. Well, I treasure these things more than money. I'll just put it that way. A brand new one, even one that was unopened, unused, from the same period, same brand, same everything, it wouldn't mean the same to me as it would something my dad had and used, or something that Donna's dad had and used, because I love those people. And it reminds me, every once in a while, you have to be taught that people are, well, they're everything. The things around us, they're replaceable or they're not useful perhaps anymore, but the people are not replaceable. And sometimes when they leave us, gone on to their reward perhaps, the memories that we have of them, that's the treasure we have. And I've got a big treasure chest. I'm proud of it. People in my family, people in Donna's family, they mean a great deal. And I'm, you know, a part of a big family here. We've all talked about that from time to time, that this is more than a hobby. This is a family that people can enjoy, if they will. Gary, thank you for everything tonight. It's been a pleasure. KK4JBQ, back to you, sir.
Okay, Larry, well, you take care. Tell Miss Donna we said hello, and hope y'all have a wonderful week, what's left of it. And we'll do it again here real soon. 73, my friend. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS.
COS. Channel Whiskey 4, Charlie Whiskey Foxtrot. That's W4CWF. Name's Colin.
November 4, Echo Delta Whiskey.
Back to you in this KI4DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. We'd like to say good evening. Good evening to W4CWF. That's Mr. Colin up there in Mill Springs. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Mr. Colin. Hope you are doing well. M4EDW, Mr. Ed up there in Bavard. Go ahead, sir.
Very interesting conversation for the last whatever. You were talking about cats. I would recommend to people that they get medical insurance for their pets. I did it for one of my cats who had extensive dental surgery. And I got back something like $800 to stray. And so far, he's cost me about $1,200, over.
Good information there, and that's a good idea. Get medical insurance on your pets. They can become very expensive, no doubt. Our little puppy, the one that stays in the house, had to have surgery. And her bill, she had a little tumor-type thing on her stomach. And that was a little over $1,200 just for that surgery. So they can get expensive, no doubt. I don't know where that came from.
And I've got insurance on the new one. I did not get it on one several cats back, and they got expensive, and I wish I had gotten the insurance. So on these, I've gotten insurance. It's about $20 a month, over.
What's the old saying? Pay me now or pay me later? You know, if you go ahead and get it, it's good to have, and that's not a bad price in reality. We just carried two of ours over to the vet, got them taken care of, and paid the vet bill, and you know, I said, man, you know, the price of things have gone to
$1 by the time I take him in for his annual with shots and stuff like that. But you got to have them looked after. This one has got a tooth that's going to have to come out, and that's going to be another big bill. I found out after my experience with several of them that, like you say, pay now or pay later, that I'd rather pay it over the long stretch than all at one time. Over.
Like I said, that's good information, and good advice, and I do appreciate you bringing that to the net, you know, because we have been talking quite a bit about our pets this evening.
I'm interested in talking about all the cats you had had, and I've had a few, and my wife had some. The new one here, I call him the new, we've had about 2 weeks. A friend, he was a stray, and he was showing up at their door begging, and they couldn't take him in. And so they called us, and my wife got a soft heart, so now we have him over.
Well, you know, most of our dogs are rescues. The little one that stays in the house is a rescue, and the tan and black is a rescue. And the black one that we got is the first puppy that we've raised. It was a little bitty thing when she came here, it was the first one we've raised from a puppy, and that belonged to our grandson, and his mother was going to get rid of it, and he said, no, let me see if I can find her a home, and of course Joy got it involved, and the grandson's dog came to live with us, so it's ours now. But we've had cats of all kinds of shapes and forms and fashions. I had one that, his name was Duncan. That's what Joy named him. And we moved him with us up to Tennessee when I was in the military. And he got out of the vehicle and was gone for 2 or 3 days. And Joy said, well, he's gone. Won't never see my cat again. And heard something on the back porch. The screen door was slammed. You know, it would bump. You know, it slammed. And it opened and slammed, opened and slammed. And I said, what in the world went out there? And Duncan was out there. He was sticking his claws into the screen, pulling it open and letting it go to where it was slammed. And so when I opened the door, he did it, and in came a orange tabby cat in front of him, and he proceeded to bring his girlfriend in the house and take her over there and show her the food bowl, showed her the cat box, and they came and went as they pleased.
I hadn't heard a story like that before, but we've got one who was a feral cat, and we adopted him, and we have our deck surrounded, it's a story high. So we have it surrounded by chicken wire, and I've got a little door so he can go in and out, but he can't go anywhere. But he's an escape artist. We open the front door, and he goes charging out and gets on his vehicles. He disappeared for a whole night one time, but he comes back. Over.
Well, I'm glad that at least he comes back. But, you know, it's not hard to get attached to an animal relatively quickly either.
The older feral sleeps with my wife, and we've got another one who's about 10 years old, a female, and she sleeps at the foot, and this new one is taking his spot on the bed, too. Over.
Did that not root you out of the bed?
Because I've been sleeping in a recliner because I have busted up my shoulder and taken physical therapy, and for a long time I couldn't turn on it. So sleeping in a recliner gives me a better sleeping position. So I'm still doing that because I'm still in physical therapy for that. It's healed, but it's going to probably be another 6 months before I get full use back. I tore my rotator cuff. Over.
I didn't know that you had done that yet. But that is a long process when you tear a rotator cuff. I have not done that. The doctor thought I did it at first, but I ruptured the bicep in my left arm, and he thought it was a rotator cuff to start with. And until I moved my hand, and the bicep slid down into a big mass and a knot and started jerking, he said, oh, I know what you've done now. So. But he did. He thought it was a rotator cuff to start with, but I'm glad it was not that. I've had some friends that had to have rotator cuff surgery, and they tell me that that's a very painful thing to have to go through.
mine in March, and they used a nerve block on it. For 3 days, I had this little bag with a pump, and about every 15 seconds, it would push some, whatever the medicine was, into the area. And after 3 days, it ran out, and we pulled it out. And I had no pain during that period of time. They gave me some pretty potent painkiller to take after that came out. With the idea of keeping ahead of the pain, I took half a pill and never took any more. I've had a lot of discomfort, but no pain. And so I can kind of sympathize with people who've had pain. But having that, I was in a sling, real tight sling, against my body for about 2 or so weeks, and then used a sling for another month. It gives an appreciation for people with handicaps, and a lot of times for handicaps you can't see. I still can't lift my arm straight up. Over.
Hopefully that will come back in. It just takes some time. If you're in rehab you're taking stuff like that, do whatever the doctors tell you to. You may not want to. It may hurt. But it's for your own best interest. If you do what they tell you, normally you'll get a larger range of motion than you would have had you not done it. I know when Joy had her knee replaced, she did what the doctor told her, and then, well, she actually did a little more, and he told her not to do so much. But he told her at one point in time that if his patients, all of his patients, would do what he told them to, when it came to the rehab therapy, that
he was good that time. I guess it was that message coming through, but it was all kinds of garbage. Over.
Yeah, that's what it was. I don't know where that's coming from. It goes into the repeater, and I don't know. we'll just have to deal with it for right now.
Sites last week or so, and I'm still learning to use a couple of them, but they will, you can put your location in, and they will give you line of sights, and for several of them, they're real good, and one of them will show a color diagram map of where your particular radio will, and antenna will project to because of the terrain.
I don't worry about stuff like that. If I want to talk, I'll tune my radio up and try the frequency, and if I can hit the repeater or the other antenna or somebody comes back and answers me, that's okay with me. That's the way I do it. I don't have a lot of folks use the waterfalls and stuff to find out where the strong signals are and, who's on and where they are on the band, and I don't do that. I just turn the knob. I do mine old school. That's the way we used to do it a long time ago, and my father-in-law did it that way for years and years and years, and he made contacts all over the world. So I'm not saying that these things are bad. I'm just saying that I don't particularly care to use them. I think they're good, and especially if you got a topo map that shows you the terrain, and you wonder why I can't get into the repeater, and there's a mountain in between you, then it shows you why. That's good information. But I don't worry about that. I just, if I can get into the repeaters or make contact, I just go with it that way.
I've been playing with antennas for the last couple of years since I've pulled out the HF equipment. Right now, I'm using one that is 1,100 feet long and pretty much circles my whole property. If you go on QRZ, you'll see a diagram of it. I'm getting pretty good reports from it, but I still can't get much as far as Asia. And lately, it seems like the whole propagation business is down. I don't get the ones out of Europe I used to get. Over.
QLS on the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, but N4EDW, Mr. Ed up there in Brevard. Well, propagation has been kind of strange. It's been real noisy here recently. I don't know if all the solar activities have got to do with that. I'm sure they do to a point. And then the other point is, you know, depending on which band you talk on or which band you're trying to get on, they change during the day. You know, as the gray line comes across and goes back around and that sort of thing, and the sunspots and, oh gosh, there's 14 million other things that get involved in it. But if I can hear somebody, I can work them. That's the way I look at it. A lot of times the bands are real quiet. But, you know, sometimes I've found too, Ed, that if the band is quiet and you get in there and start calling CQ, you may have to call it for 2 or 3 minutes. But, you know, or maybe longer than that. Somebody's going to come back to you, and then all of a sudden there's a pileup.
Which people would do in calling CQ is be more distinctive in their call signs. I get F-Y-U-E-W, and I'm wondering what the world they said, and I've got to listen several times to finally catch it. I'm still playing with mine because I find that Echo seems to be misunderstood quite a bit, so I'm playing with Edward or Europe. I've got a whole list of things I'm trying to use to make it a little more understandable, but they're real fast with it, and they don't give it very often. I've listened to some, and I know you only have to give it every 10 minutes or so, but they don't give it, whereas I've heard some stations control what they get back by being very careful as to when they say QRZ with their call sign, and also given the location. Sometimes the call sign doesn't give you the good location as to where people are. So when they give the location, it really helps. Over.
No doubt in my mind about that. Especially if you're using a set of beams, you know, if they tell you where they're at, then you can point your beams in that direction. That seems to help a lot. But with a wire antenna, you know, you just kind of have to grin and bear it, I guess. They work good, and I've made a lot of contacts on the wires. Matter of fact, I've got up two wires now. I've got a loop, delta loop up, and I've got a 137-foot infed, and then they both work well.
The delta loop that somebody's, because of space, gave me the pattern for, and I've had pretty good success with that. I got almost 100 countries out of it, and I don't know how many contacts. It's not, it's on the side of a hill, so it's both, I'm getting both the vertical and the horizontal polarization, and it's pointing due east when I'm feeding it from the bottom, and I figured since I'm on the side of the hill pointing due east, I'll get Carolina and Europe. My first contact with the station, my second the same evening was in Quebec, and my third was Cyprus. When I put my long loop up, the second station that I contacted was the same Quebec station as my second contact with the Delta Loop. Over.
Well, you know, you're going to run into the same folks over and over and over. I heard a guy calling CQ one night, and I just threw my call out, and I wasn't paying any attention to his call. He was in Russia. And when I threw my call out, he came back and called me by name. You know, hey, Gary, my friend, when are you coming to Moscow? And I said, I'm not. He said, well, I'm coming to the States. I said, well, if you get down into South Carolina, I said, you call me. And I said, I'll come meet you. Anywhere you are, I said, I'll come to you. And he said that he would if he got over to the States. But, you know, I don't know if that'll ever happen. But then again, I may get a call tomorrow, and it'd be old Alex, and he'll say he's someplace, and I'll just have to jump the car or the truck and take off.
Hello in Russia. Russia, Moscow, St. Petersburg. One was way out in the middle of Russia. If you look at the map and look at Mongolia, he was north of Mongolia. That was pretty interesting. Well, one of the things I found you might want to look at on the computer is an azimuth map. You can plot an azimuth map from your location, and it's a freebie. If you look up http://novembersierra6tango.net, you can put your location in it, and you get a map out to whatever radius you want, showing the compass bearings from your location out to wherever. It's really interesting when you look at it and compare the locations. We think of Europe being east of here. They're actually northeast. And talking to Australia, you're shooting almost west. Over.
A nice thing to have, Ed. I wrote that down. I'll have to check it out.
You have to put in the latitude and longitude decimal form, but that's easy to get. There are other sites that will do that. And then it'll come back and give you the center of the with the latitude and longitude. And I plotted one for where I am and also for a couple places downtown. And you can go out as far as you want. Like you can go out a couple of 100 kilometers or a couple of 1,000 kilometers or all the way as far as you can go. Over.
Well, that's in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with N4EDW, Mr. Ed up there in Brevard. Well, Ed, I'll try that out. I've got it written down here, and NS6 Tango, and I'll check that out and see how I like it. And I don't do a whole lot on the computer other than what I want to do, but I don't That's one thing, I don't have time to sit down in front of my computer all day, every day. I tell my oldest son, he works in IT, and that's all he does is computers. And I tell him, I say, I don't know how you do it. I can't sit there and look at that silly screen all day long. Well, Dad, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this. I say, I understand. But, you're not getting anything done, or I wouldn't be getting anything done. Around here, outside, like getting the grass cut. If I'm sitting in here in front of the computer, he said, well, I don't cut the grass. I said, exactly.
Yeah, see, that when we first moved here, we debated whether I was going to get a tractor to cut the grass. And we decided to have somebody do it, and I'm glad I did. I watched a neighbor spend Saturdays out on his, and it was bigger yard than mine, but with a big tractor cutting grass. Oh, the site I gave you is a .net. It's a .net, so you don't look for something and don't find it. But I do several things. Right now, my wife gave me a 3D printer for Christmas, and I've got it going on something. I've been having fun with that, and that's learning a whole new computer system. But it's getting there and been kind of fun, making a lot of toys to give away. And at the same time, I'm listening to stuff like the nets here. I'm doing other stuff. Tonight I've been sorting paperwork. Over.
You can at least multitask. That's a, you do more one thing at one time. But that's, like I said, I'm not knocking computers. They're great tools. And, they're good for a lot of things. I just don't, I don't spend a whole lot of time on mine. I'll put it that way. You can find out all kinds of information and stuff like that, but I've got other things I've got to do, and I choose to let the computer sit by the wayside. And I told a lot of people that I can work on a mainframe, but as far as these new Windows and things that operating systems now, I can't program one. I don't like software. Don't like programming. That's the reason I don't like these radios with a lot of menus and stuff like that. My radios are just plain common you know, turn this knob, you know, push this button, and that sort of thing. They don't have menus on them, and that suits me fine. I'm being left behind as far as the SDRs go, and all the fancy stuff. I don't do FD8, don't do anything digital. To me, that's not ham radio. If I want to make a digital contact, I get on CW, because that's digital. Yeah, all that is dits and dots, and all you're doing is sending a carrier. That's as digital as I want to get when it comes to ham radio. But that's just me. This hobby is so broad and so wide and so deep that you can do anything that you want to. Like 6.4 machine's got a slow scan TV net on. That's a great thing, but that's not my thing. I don't like. I might like it if I got into it and tried it, but I'm just old fashioned. I just like turning knobs and dipping a, I can't remember it now. Anyway, I just tell you how to tune an amplifier. I can't remember. I know how to do it, but I'm glad that you enjoy that, and I'm glad you gave me that information. I'll check that asthma thing out.
Trouble with this radio that we're on, and programming it, like you say, hit several buttons that do many things, and I'm on the Anderson net. And I usually get on that at 8:30, but I haven't been able to get on it because I did something, twisted the dial, or hit the wrong button or something or other, and I can't get it set now with the offset and the tone to break into their repeat. I thought I had it worked up, but it wouldn't save it, and every time I try to get it, I still can't get back in. And so I looked at the manual, and I go through that, and it still doesn't work right, so I've got to play with it some more. Eventually, I'm going to have to call somebody and say, hey, talk me through this thing, because it's like these little watches. You hit a button, and it does four things. Over.
Correct, and, sometimes that gets confusing to me, and I just assume not to go through the hassle. I told a new ham one time, he said he was going to get this particular radio, and he's going to get the software to program it and all this. And I said, a word to the wise. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, learn how to program that radio manually. I said, yeah, you can use a computer. You can use the software and the interconnecting cables and all of that. And put everything in there and hit one button and it's programmed. I said, but what happens if something happens to the memory battery on the inside of the thing, and you're out someplace, and away from home, and the memory battery dies? Are you going to know how to get, put the frequencies back in the silly thing to make it work? And he said, well, I hadn't thought about it like that. And I said, well, you got an internal battery for the memory, and if it goes out, it may hold for a little while, but it ain't going to hold long. And all of a sudden, everything you put in there is gone. So learn to program your radios manually.
And with that, and I haven't gone with the digital. I'm working on the FT8, because there's a whisper program where you can turn it on and it will sense where you are sending and send back, and you can see a pattern of where you are broadcasting to. When I put this antenna up, someone modeled it for me. But I'm making a compass chart of the ones I can talk to, but also ones that I can't break into for whatever reason. Sometimes I'll hear somebody, there's not a pileup, he's calling CQ, but I can't talk to him, and I've got a real good signal from him. So I figure using the whisper, I'll be able to tell what directions that I don't have a real good signal going out, because the antenna, although I've just made it higher, and it goes from about 20 feet up to 80 feet, it's not a circle or a square, So the pattern going out is pretty strange, probably. I'm thinking about getting a hex antenna. Have you had any experience with them? Over.
QRS and Blue Ridge to meter net with N4EDW, Mr. Ed at Brevard. I have not used a hex beam or a hex antenna. I have put several of them up for folks, and they love them. You know, they seem to like them real well. I've got up, like I said, I've got up a loop antenna, and I've got up just 137-foot infield, and then I've got my beam. The beam covers 10, 12, 15, 17, 20, and 40. 40 meters on my dipole, but it is somewhat directional. I would love to have a 40-meter beam put under it, you know, say at some point in time. But, you know, if I can get on 40 meters and I can talk to whoever I want to talk to, you know, I don't really need another antenna yet. But it'd be nice to have it in case I wanted to use it.
With what's called the mystery antenna?
Those
I have. I'm not too happy with it. It's supposed to be multi-band, but I don't think I have it high enough. I put an analyzer on it, and the SWR on it is out of sight. Over.
You know, if unless it's 3 feet off the ground, the height of it's not going to affect. If you got it 20 feet up in the air or something, or better, the SWR should not be affected as far as the height of the antenna. You've got something else that's not right in there if the SWR is out of sight. Something too long or something too short or something that's not making a good contact. But I've tried all kinds of different antennas. I built a fan dipole. You had a 10-meter wire, a 20-meter wire, a 40-meter wire, and an 80-meter wire, or 75 meters. And it worked very well. You know, when you turn your radio to whichever band that you were wanting to talk on, it would switch to that wire. Now, how it knew how to do that, I don't know. I'm not the engineer that drew up the plans for that. You know, I'm not the right rocket scientist that figured all that out. But it works, and, you know, make pretty good antenna. But one thing about the multi-band antennas, I will say this. Anytime you use a multi-band antenna, they're good and bad. You know, they're good because you can use one antenna for several bands, but they're bad because of the losses going from one band to another on the same antenna. The SWR may jump way up or this sort of thing, so you have to retune it on your antenna tuner. And an antenna tuner does not actually tune the antenna. It fools your radio thinking, to makes it think that it's seeing a matched antenna out there that is resonant. And so an antenna tuner is nothing but a thing that fools your radio thinking that it's got a good match. And if you'll notice, if you use an antenna tuner, which I do, and got a couple of radios with built-in antenna tuners. Antenna tuners get hot, and they dissipate your signal with heat. It turns into heat, and that's the way it gets rid of it. But that's the reason the antenna tuners get hot, is because there's a bad mismatch in there somewhere. And instead of putting out 100 watts on the antenna, you may be putting out 10 watts or 5 watts or who knows. And until you go out there with a field strength meter and actually physically check what's going off the antenna.
Someone modeled a big loop for me. And, of course, I had given him kind of a diagram with the the way they turned around at the corners and distances, he came up with, without a tuner, it should have a pretty good SWR on just about everything because of the length. A couple of them not as good as others, but overall pretty good. And I still use a tuner on it, and it goes to work on the different frequency bands. But it should be pretty close by itself, although I haven't really tried it without the tuner. And I'm real curious about trying to figure out some of these things and have done a lot of the calculations on it. I want to do some calculating on my Delta loop. It's pretty good most places, but I can't use it on 18 megs. It goes out of sight then. And if I get way up into 80 and 160, and then it goes out of sight up into 10 and up to 18 SWR. Or
it's not good for those frequencies. The loop I've got up, I was told it was 10 through 80 meters. It would not work on 160. And I told the gentleman that I was talking to, I said, well, don't tell my radio that. And don't tell the people that I talked to on 160, that my antenna won't work on 160 because I've made contacts. And not just local either, these are DX contacts. I said, now, I will agree that it may not be as efficient on 160 as it is on 80 through 10. But it will work, as a super Elmer told me, if it radiates, it's an antenna. If it does not, it's a bird perch.
How long is your antenna? Mine is 44 feet on each leg. I've got a two to one baling on it, and I'm feeding it with coax. And the top, which is horizontal, leg is about 25 feet high, and it slopes down the side of the hill to about 1 foot high. Over.
It's up about 65 feet. You've got to have 100 feet between the trees that you hang it in. The horizontal, you've got from the center insulator out, you've got 50 feet, 40. I don't remember. I'd have to look in my book, Ed. But then it comes down, in a V shape. But it's got a stub that's 27 feet long in the middle. And mine, I started with a 4-to-1 baling. And it worked real well with it. And just for grins and giggles, I tried a 6-to-1. And it works even better with a 6-to-1. And mine's fed with coax, and my feed line's about 135 feet long.
Pretty good. My feed is less than 100, and it gets out pretty good. I get good signal reports on it. What surprised me was it was pretty omnidirectional, since I'm on the side of the mountain. I thought I was going to go mostly east, but I was able to talk to Alaska one time, and also I've had two contacts with Japan with stations that are right around Tokyo. Over.
Working real well. Ed, I went and got my book while you were talking. From the center insulator and on the horizontal part, you got 49 feet, 6 inches. And then the angle part that comes down to make the triangle is 59 feet. And the stub is 29 feet and 10 inches. There you go. That gives you the dimensions on my antenna. Over.
Have a stub on mine. That's something that I wasn't sure that I've seen before. Over.
That stub is, you know, it makes it like a vertical, and it's part of different configurations. A good friend of mine down in Columbia area has got his, where mine is vertical, his is horizontal, his loop is, but his stub hangs straight down, you know, it's vertical. And the reason he put his up that way is that lowered the noise floor. He went from like an S7 down to an S5 on his noise floor. So it dropped a couple of S units on the noise, and now he can hear people a lot plainer that way. But you can do all kinds of things with that loop antenna. It's a lot of fun to play with.
Figuring on the different frequency bands and see what I come up with on the difference as to what I have. And I may do something like you were describing, like the fan with the delta loop, and see how that works. And with my long loop antenna, I've toyed with the idea of putting a wire on the ground underneath it to see if that'll act like a radio and make any difference. I haven't seen anything in the writing about that, but I'm wondering if that would add anything to it. I've been unhappy with the mystery antenna, and I need to get out and play with that a little bit as far as the hookups and see if I've got something that's interfering with that. But on our field day, someone had a folded dipole. That's an ICOM folded dipole, and that's an all-band antenna, and he was getting pretty good results from that. Over.
And he was having good luck with it. We can do all kinds of different things with different antennas, and that's just a lot of fun to play with. And let me make one more call. It's just going on about 10 minutes to 12 now. And see if I got any other check-ins, and I'll come back right to you. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS. Nothing heard. Back to you, Ed.
Midnight, and both of us got to get in bed. I don't think I have to get up early in the morning. I had to today to go for the therapy. I've been doing it twice a week and then working on my own on stuff. And next week I start once a week, and then next month it'll be once a week, and then they'll turn me loose. But it does make a difference when they start manipulating the arm to loosen it up and stretch the muscles. But I'm working on some of those exercises here too. But it doesn't hurt anymore. It's just uncomfortable, and I've got to keep at it, because I know it's going to take quite a while. Like your doctor said, if the people do what he tells them, they'll come out pretty good. If they don't, then they hurt later on. And I've known several people who won't do the work, and they never really get well. There's one man in the Rotary Club who hurt his shoulder, I don't know how long ago, I'm guessing something like 20 years or so, and he's now thinking about the surgery. And when I checked with the orthopedic surgeon, he said, no, it's better to go ahead and have it done, because otherwise, if you wait and have it done, it's not going to come out as well. Over.
We don't heal as quickly and as well as we get older as we do when we're younger. So, you know, if it needs to be done, go ahead and get it done. And that way, it gives yourself a little bit more time to heal up and that sort of thing.
Now, so I've got a few years left, and I want to make sure I'm healthy for that period of time. Over.
Ed, and I'm glad that you made it this long, and hang in there. You'll be up there with Eddie before long.
My father was 99 when he died. His father was 90. His mother was 90-something, and my mother was 85. So that side of the family tends to hang around for a while. Over.
Yeah, for a good long while yet, Ed. But do appreciate it and enjoy talking with you about it this evening.
A few things by listening to you talk to other people and then talking directly with you, like the stuff on the antennas. And I hope that when you try that program, you like it on the azimuth, because it's really a neat little program, and you can do several things with it once you play with it. And it's kind of neat to see when you're talking to somebody where they are, because I was doing it as a compass bearing and kind of puzzled by it. But once you see it on this map, it all makes sense. Over.
And see how I like it, and we'll go from there. I'll let you know.
Sometimes I give people stuff like this, and I never get feedback. So I appreciate the feedback that you like it, and because it's a neat little thing. I think I'm going to maybe do it for something like Christmas cards, is get the location of different people, and you can get that on Google. If you put in an address, it'll give you the longitude, latitude. On this program, you got to put it in as a decimal, but there is a program on Google there where you convert from the normal longitude, latitude in degrees and minutes to the decimal, and that makes it real simple. And so I'm going to maybe send that to people as Christmas gifts. Over.
First Christmas gift, Ed. I hadn't thought about something like that. But it is unique, no doubt about it.
Tonight I got to wrap up a few things here. Go check on the cats. They always want something to eat about this time. Over.
Enjoy the rest of the evening. Have a wonderful week. Appreciate you coming in and talking with us a little bit. Enjoyed it, and look, we'll do it again sometime soon. And I'll let you know how I like that program, and I'll try it out, and we'll go from there. I'll say 73 to you for now, young man. Talk to you a little bit later. Do we have any other check-ins? All the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. KI4DOS. Wrap it up for this evening. I'll submit my net report electronically, and then we'll close the net out. Grand total of 58 tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you in Radio Land. Y'all come back again tomorrow night. Mr. Matt, WG4MC, will be calling and give him a good dose of Rider's Cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for all those folks checked in with us, we will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS clear.